the theme for our family month is living in God's plan and purpose. Living there's a box over there. So if you have any issue you want us to discuss, you can drop them in there. So that, you know, we'll pull them out and then we'll discuss them. So like I said, our team is living in God's plan and purpose. So God has a plan for our families. Next week, in my topic next week, you will see how much God love families. Praise the Lord. But today my topic is you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. I want to personalize it. I am the light of the world. Again, I am the light of the world. Talk to your neighbor, I speak to your neighbor, tell your neighbor, you are the light of the world. I didn't say that. Jesus said it. And that's what we are. Praise the Lord. I'm going to start with three scriptures. 1 John 1, 5 to 7. 1 John 1, 5 to 7. I want you to go with me so that we understand what we are and how we got to where we are. So follow, you know, just pay attention as I go along. 1 John 1, 5 to 7. Amplified. Says, this is the message of God's promise revelation, which we have heard from Him and now announced to you. That's John talking. He talks with assurance, with authenticity. He said, I heard it. This is the message you heard. So it's like an eyewitness news. So, you know, he was very sure, very confident, very sure of what he was saying. He says that God is light. He is holy. His message is truthful. The message of God is truthful. He is perfect in righteousness. And again, he says, in Him, there is no darkness at all. No sin, no wickedness, no imperfection. And then verse 6, it says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in darkness of sin, we lie and do not practice the truth. In other words, once you have light, you cannot walk in darkness. Remember, we are the light of God, of the world. And it says, in God, there is no darkness at all, because He is light. Verse 7, but if we really walk in the light, that is, live each and every day in conformity with the precepts of God, as He Himself is in the light, we have true, unbroken fellowship with one another. That one another is not amongst ourselves. It's one another with God and ourselves. Praise the Lord. Because it says here, He with us and we with Him. And it says, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin, by erasing the stain of sin, keeping us cleansed from sin in all its forms and manifestation. In all its forms and manifestation. To walk in the light is to walk in the knowledge of the Word of God that we know. To walk in the knowledge of God that we know, that is to walk in the light. It is growing in holiness and maturing in faith as we follow Christ. It means following the commandments of Jesus and growing in His grace. We'll see that as we continue. That's to walk in the light. And that scripture is John 8:12. John 8:12, NLT. Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, "I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness, because you will have the light that leads to life." If you follow him, because he is the light, you can walk in darkness. And remember, we are the light. So if somebody follows us, you will not walk in darkness. Praise the Lord. But I want you to pay attention to the word, the light. He said, "I am the light." He didn't say he is light of the world, but the light of the world. The word is a definite article. For example, if I have about 20 lights, say in a room, and then I ask you to go and get me a light, you will go over there and get me any light. But if I tell you to get me the light, the next question will be, which one are you talking about? Because there's a specific light that I want you to go and get. And Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." So that's a light. That's a particular light Jesus is talking about. And then we will learn that from Paul. Paul, on his way to Damascus to persecute Christians, gave us an idea of what this light looks like. Let's look at Acts 26:13. Acts 26:13. Amplify. It says, "At midday," okay, you know, Paul is talking to King Agrippa, what he experienced. It says, "At midday, okay, I saw on the way a light from heaven, surpassing the brightness of the sun." Remember, at midday, that's when the intensity of the sun is. And then Paul said, "At midday, I saw a light greater, surpassing." That light came from heaven, surpassing the midday sun, shining around me and those who journeyed with me. So that light was just focused on them, on Paul and the people around him. So Paul noticed that this light, you know, was different. And obviously he was talking about the light that came from God, from heaven. That's the light of Jesus. You know, I had an experience before I became born again. I remember one time my wife and children, all five of them, went to night vigil. I was very much against them going, but somehow that day I let them go. Now, while I was in the living room, lay down on the couch, after I had my cigarette and had my drink, I kind of went to sleep. I lay down on the couch. But I can't really describe what happened, because I wasn't really sleeping. Because I could see the TV, position on TV. I could see that TV was on. I could see everything. But all of a sudden, I appeared in a place that was very bright, very beautiful, beautiful flowers. And I began to wonder. I said, "Oh my God, this place is so beautiful. I've never experienced that kind of place before." And then while I was wondering, the flowers were singing. The flowers were so beautiful. The rose were gold. Everything. I was so much in love with the place. And then while I was wondering, I saw an object coming towards me, flying in a matlet with crown, but the crown was shining, even blinding my eyes, and all I was screaming was, "Jesus is real. Jesus is real. Jesus is real. And I woke up. So when my wife came, I shared the experience, you know, with her. 2 days later, the same guy that was coming to me all the time, when he came through this door, I go out to the other door. So this time he came. And then he says, "Chuck, we're having an outreach. That's full gospel business meeting. We're having our outreach here. So it's so time. And I'm inviting you again." I said, "I'm coming." All the time I've been refusing. And then he was so surprised the way I responded. I said, "I'm coming." So that day I went. And then I was, my wife, you know, my wife, whenever that, you know, she's always closing her eyes. She knelt down close. I was with her. So when I left and I answered the altar call, she didn't even know, you know, she thought I was there with her. So when she got up, when the man of God was blessing and was pointing, then she opened her eyes and then she saw the man of God blessing his son. That was an awesome man that just gave his life, you know, a Muslim that just gave his life. But that gave his life. So now I became born again. Praise the Lord. So it was a very interesting experience. So the next scripture is Matthew 5:14-16. And that's where I got it up. It says, "You are the light." Amplified. So you are the light of Christ. Now it's the sign here is we are the light of Christ to the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Brethren, we are the light that cannot be hidden. Praise the Lord. We can never be intimidated. The world cannot intimidate us because we cannot be hidden. We have to appear as light to the world. Praise the Lord. It says, "Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand." That's where we're supposed to be. On a lampstand, giving light to everybody. "And he gives light to all who are in the house." 16 is very important. It says, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good deeds and moral excellence and recognize and honor and glorify your Father who is in heaven." You know, just say we are the light. But the issue is your light shining. Because it can be the light and still you cannot shine. You're not shining. So it's very important that as we are the light of the of the world, we should shine so that people will see our good works and then glorify our God. As we go down, we will see it better. Can I get the video? Just a small video for about less than a minute. There's something I want to share in this video. Video, the shadow was pushing the baby. His own, her own shadow. And he didn't know what to do. But every one of us, before we became born again, has a shadow of sin. And on that baby, if we don't give our life to Christ, the shadow of sin will continue to follow you. Just like you follow that baby. But remember, when we are in the sun, when the sun is shining, we see our shadow, just like the shadow was filling the baby. But But as the intensity of the sun increases, what happens? Our shadow decreases, right? Our shadow decreases. Remember, God is light. So the nearer, the more of God we have in us, the nearer we are to God, our shadow of sin decreases. But the farther we are from God, our shadow of sin increases. But God said we are the light. Does light have shadow? In other words, as we are the light, we are moving without shadow. We are all moving without shadow. So there's no sin. The shadow of sin in us is gone. But the world is still in darkness. And the shadow of sin is still within them. And Christ said, let our light shine on them. So that the shadow of sin in them will begin to erase. Praise the Lord. So we are the light of the world. So we look at these three scriptures. There's something common in them. That's light. In the first one, it says God is light. Then the second one, Jesus Christ is light. And then the third one says we are the light. Now, how do we become the light? It's very important because remember when Jesus came, he said, I am the light of the world. And then all of a sudden he said, now you are the light of the world. So how do we, it's important that we understand how we all become the light of the world. So let's look at John 1:1-5. This is a very important scripture. Amplify. So in the beginning, before all time, I want to substitute the word Christ, because the word is Christ, right? You know that the word is Christ, right? So that you have a clear understanding that people, like Jehovah's Witness people, that don't believe that Christ is God. So I'm going to read it this way. In the beginning, before all time, was Christ. But it's not a big one. You don't have it there. Okay. In the beginning, before all time, was Christ. And Christ was with God. And Christ was God himself. So Christ was God himself. He, that is Christ, was continually existing in the beginning, co-eternally with God. All things were made and came into existence through Christ, that's through him. And without him, or without Christ, not even one thing was made that has come into being. Verse 4, which is important. In him, that's how we now, you know, became the light. In him, that is in Christ, was life. And the power to restore life. And the life was the light of men. So in Christ is life. And that life is the light of men. So when we receive Christ, when we have the life of Christ, automatically we have the light. Are you with me? So the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not understand it, or overpower it, or appropriate it, or absorb it, and is unreceptive to it. So we have the life of Christ. And how do we have the life of Christ? We have the Spirit. Because the Spirit gives life. Praise the Lord. John 6:63 says, the Spirit alone gives eternal life. Human effort accomplishes nothing. And the very words I have spoken to you are both Spirit and life. So we have God's Spirit, and that's how we have the life of Christ. And that's how we are light. Now 1 Corinthians 2:12 NLT says, and we have received God's Spirit, not the world's Spirit. So we can know the wonderful things God has freely, you know, given to us. But there's warning Paul is giving us here in Ephesians 5:7-11. How we as light should conduct ourselves. And it's important that we understand this. He says, don't participate in the things these people do. That's the Gentiles, the unbelievers. As light of the world, as light of Christ, as light of God, he says, we should not participate in the things these people do. Verse 8, it says, for once you were full of darkness. That's before we, you know, we get our light. Once we were like them. But now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light. Are we living as people of light in our homes, in our communication, at work, at places, with our children, with our wives, with our husbands? Are we living as people of light? It says, for this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. So the light we have in us produces only what is good and only what is true and only what is right. It says, carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them. So that's our responsibility, to expose what is evil. Expose them. We should not participate in them. We should not follow them to tell lies. You know, somebody sent me something on WhatsApp about this man. You know, his son always tell him lies. So he didn't know what to do. And then he went and bought a robot, a lying detector. And once you tell lie, he will detect it. So his son came back and then he asked his son, where did you go? He said, I went to the library to study. So the robot slapped him. And then he said, Daddy, I'm sorry. I went to my friend's house. He said, what were you doing there? He said, well, we're watching a student TV cartoon. And then the robot slapped him again. And he said, Daddy, I'm sorry. We were watching a pornography. And the father got so mad. He said, what? At your age? He said, even at my age, I didn't know what pornography is, you know, is. And the robot slapped him. And then the mother said, oh, like father, like son. And the robot slapped the mother again. Because the child wasn't the man's son. So the next day, the man put the robot on eBay. And so the robots. Praise the Lord. So he said, don't join them to tell lies. So how can we expose the works of darkness? He says, when we live as people of light, we produce only what is good. Do you notice that even when you are moving with an unbeliever, and he sees you doing good things all the time, even when he's going astray, when you try to correct him, you will not follow him. At a time, you know, he begins to admire you. At a time, your character will begin to affect him. You know, one thing with unbelievers, you might be doing something, but they may be condemning you. But someday, they will tell you. Someday they will appreciate what you are doing to, what you have done for them. That they were being misled by somebody or something. But now you brought them light. So our light will continue to shine in Jesus' name. We will expose darkness in our world by letting our light shine, by letting our good deeds enlighten others and glorify our Heavenly Father. Our hope is that those who live in darkness might see the light of God in us and be drawn to this light and the light it offers. You know, one time my wife and I went to Port Harcourt, and then we went somewhere to buy something. And then this lady, the way he attended us, the way she was communicating with us, we were very much impressed. And then before we left, my wife asked her, "Are you a Christian?" And then she said, "Yes." And then he said, "Go on." That was her light shining. Imagine her doing the same thing to unbelievers. That's her light shining. So whatever you are doing, even unknowingly, you are reflecting the light of Christ with people you get in contact with. Praise the Lord. Well, let's look at the origin of light, because it's very important that we know the origin of light. We're going to learn a lot from it in Genesis 1:1-5. It says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep water. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said," now God said, "Let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light was good. Then he separated the light from darkness. He called the light day and the darkness night. And evening passed and morning came, making the first day." Praise the Lord. So there are three important concepts about light that we must understand. It says, the light came from the word or from the mouth of God. Which means God's word is light and truth, because light is a product of God's word. John said in John 17:17, "Sanctify them in the truth. Set them apart for your purpose. Make them holy, for your word is true." And then we learn from David. He says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." In other words, your word is everything, because your word contains light. Because your word is light. So with your word, I can go to all the places within me and even outside me, because when I hear your word, I'm experiencing light. There's light in it. Praise the Lord. So God is the only one that will say a thing and that thing becomes true, because his word is true. God can never lie. His word is true. We may not see it as true, neither does it make sense to us, but once it comes from the word of God, it becomes true. Remember the story of Nehemiah in 2 Kings, when he was asked to go to the Jordan River to dip down for seven times, and then you get cleansed. It didn't make sense at all to him. I mean, he got so agitated, he was so mad. He said, why should I go and, get myself here in this water? Is this water here better than the water over there in that place? And then he was convinced by his servants. And then he did that, and then he got cleansed of leprosy. The word of Elisha didn't make any sense to him. And that was the word of God. So we might hear it, as long as it's the word of God, it might not make sense to us, but it is true. Praise the Lord. If you are sick and God says you are healed, you are healed. Even if the symptom is still there, once it comes from the word of God, from the mouth of God, it is done. Praise the Lord. If you have no child, and God says, you are a father of many nations. You are. Whether you believe it or not. Even when God told Abraham that, Sarah didn't believe it, because Sarah Bible said Sarah laughed. She was looking at her situation. She was looking at her body and the body of her husband. That they were old. Old enough not to have babies. But God saw them and made that pronouncement. And they had a baby. When God told Abraham that he would have a son at his old age, his wife laughed. So God is the only one that can turn every impossibility to be possible. Praise the Lord. Because his word is true and therefore overrules every evidence in life. Every evidence. There's no whatever evidence. God is the only one that has the evidence. He has the evidence in life. So whatever you are passing through, and God says you are not passing through that, you know you are not. And God can now, God can say, God can see you and then change your name. He didn't make any mistake. He start answering that name. Because his word is true. So whatever he says is true. Praise the Lord. So when he speaks to our hearts, he speaks light into our hearts. When he speaks to our situation, he speaks light into our situation because his word is light. Because anytime we hear the word of God, there is light and there is clarity because his light comes from his mouth. So the second thing I will notice about that Genesis 1 says, the light of God is good. Or it says, when he created, he says that the light, he saw the light and the light was good. So God's word is never evil. His word is always good. If God says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, he is not taking away happiness from you, but rather he wants you to enjoy your spouse and have a healthy marriage. When God says, wives, submit to your own husband, he's not bringing division to you, to your family. Rather, he wants peace and harmony in your home. God's word does not keep us away from goodness, but his word brings us into goodness. So because his light is good. The reason we have problems in our marriage is because we are not following God's instructions about marriage. Praise the Lord. Number three thing is that the light was divided from darkness. Says he separated the light. He saw that the light, you know, was good. And now he separated the light from darkness. Because darkness and light can never be together. So at any time you are in a situation, you should be able to separate light from darkness. Anytime you are watching something or reading something, you should be able to separate light and darkness. When you are confronted with tradition or custom, you should be able to separate light and darkness. You know, especially when it comes to custom, we Christians always tend to go towards custom. But our custom, God's custom. Praise the Lord. You know, there are certain aspects of our custom that is good. So we should be able to take the ones that are good and reject the ones that are bad. That is separating good and darkness. Separating light and darkness. I remember that one of my our neighbor from Brazil, Equalo. Where's Equalo from? Nando. Okay, from Nando. So over there in Nando, if I'm your friend, and then I visit you in the night, so what they do is that they will, my friend will now ask his wife to sleep with me. That's their custom. And it is allowed. So as Christian, assuming that you are from that place, as a Christian, you'll be able to separate that, because that is darkness. That is adultery, that's sin. So we, at the time, as Christians, should be able to understand what is light and what is darkness, and be able to separate both of them. Because when we mix both of them together, then we have problems. Praise the Lord. So let's go back to Matthew 5, 14 to 16. And there's something I want to point out there. It says, Christ says, you are the light. You are the light of Christ to the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. See, Christ was talking to his disciples when he made this statement. I remember his disciples were just fishermen. They were not educated. They were not educated. And for Christ to come and told them, you are now the light of the world. I've now chosen you, I've picked you to be the light of the world. I'm sure many of them were surprised. They were surprised because they, as long as they were concerned, they were not qualified to be the light. They would be looking at people that were educated. The fire you see and the sad you see. Understand what I'm saying? The Pharisees and the Pharisees, that the sad you see and the fire you see. And the Jewish rabbis, the teachers of the law. So his disciples will be thinking, why don't you pick those people? They are the people that should be the light, because they can easily communicate with the world. But Jesus said, no, not them. It's you. You are the light. You are the light. You didn't become the light because you educated. You didn't become the light of the world because you are generous. You are the light because you have the Spirit. Praise the Lord. So don't limit yourself. See, God can place you in a situation you don't expect. He can dethrone somebody and put you there in a very, very high position so that you'll be the light in that area. So don't take that way that you cannot get where you want to get. Because God is always there. He knows what to do. 2 Corinthians 3:6 says, He has qualified us, making us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant of salvation. So He qualified and makes sufficient. Even when you are insufficient, He will make it to be what? Sufficient. He says He has qualified us, making us sufficient as ministers of a new covenant of salvation through Christ, not of the letter of a written code, but of the Spirit. For the letter of the law kills, but revealing sin, by revealing sin and demanding obedience. But the Spirit gives light. So you are the light because of my Spirit that you have. So you may stand before professors who will want to intimidate you or bamboozle you with words. But remember, you are the light of the world. You may be in the midst of your peers in schools, and they may bully you or say all sort of negative things about you. But remember, you are the light of the world. Light must rule darkness. Because wherever there is light, darkness disappears. You know, sometimes some believers will be compromised. I remember I told a story here about this young man in school. His parents supported a Christian. And then this guy come to school, he would leave his parents' house, well dressed. And then once he gets to the school, he pulled out his pants and starts sagging like others. I noticed him one day, that before he started doing that, I saw him reading Bible in the class, and I was so much impressed. So I called him, and then he started telling me how committed, you know, his parents are in the Lord, and he goes to church all the time. But about 2 or 3 weeks later, I started seeing him dressing like a people of the world, compromising with people of the world. But I called him and said, why are you behaving? Does the parents see you come out, you know, the house like this? He said, no. But when I come out, I'll dress well, put on my belt and dress nice. But when I get to school, I take off my belt and then put it so that I'll look like them. But when they see me, you know, they intimidate me, they start laughing at me, reading the Bible. Don't let the world intimidate you, youth. I was talking to somebody about my wife and myself, that I've been married for 38 years. And then they say, with one woman, you mean you don't have a girlfriend? I said, no. And so they said, wow. How did you do that? I said, I didn't do that. But he said, it's not possible. I said, it's possible. With God, it's possible. But with man, it's impossible. I said, it's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that is guiding me. It's the Holy Spirit. The Bible said that we should focus on things above. Praise the Lord. So with unbelievers, those things are very impossible. And then that's when our light shines. When they see you doing the impossible things, that's when your light shines to them. And then they will come to you. And many of them will, you know, eventually and begin to appreciate you. So for our good work to shine, we must walk in the light. To walk in the light is to walk in the knowledge of the Word of God that, you know, we know that, and I said it that before. That is to walk in the Word of God. That making the Word of God our lifestyle. When the Word of God says, you are here, you are here. When the Word of God says, give tight, you tight. When the Word of God says, forgive, you forgive. Because the Word of God is always true. And the Word of God is light. When you hear teaching about giving, you must give. So when you hear teaching about tithing, you must tithe. And when the Word of God says to forgive, you must forgive. When the Word of God says you are healed, you must believe that you are healed. Praise the Lord. Number 2, for our good work to be seen by the world, we must walk by faith. To walk by faith is to obey the Word of God, even when they conflict with the command of man. Even when they conflict, we still have to obey the Word of God, to trust God in every circumstance. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we walk by faith, not by sight, living our lives in a manner consistent with our confident belief in God's promises. Unbelievers don't walk by faith, they walk by sight. So as we walk by faith and trust God to do things for us, our light is shining to the world. Praise the Lord. Then number 4 says, for our good work to be seen. Then number 3 says, for our good work to be seen, we must walk in spirit, in the spirit. Galatians 5:16 says, but I say, walk habitually in the Holy Spirit. Seek Him and be responsive to His guidance. and then you will certainly not carry out the desire of the sinful nature, which responds impulsively without regard for God and His precept. You see, our flesh has a demand. And then when we don't control, we don't live in the Spirit. You say, live in the Spirit, then we will not satisfy the desire, you know, of the flesh. So if you don't live in the Spirit, or live by the Spirit, then obviously the flesh, you know, continue pressing demand, you know, on us. So we walk in the Spirit, the flesh will not have control over us. Unbelievers walk in the flesh and not in the Spirit. Number four, for a good work to be seen, we must walk in wisdom. Ephesians 5:15-16 says, look therefore carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. It's important as believers we redeem the time, because time waits for nobody. Time waits for nobody. The unbelievers, when they look at you and see how you live your time, they say, wow, these people don't know how to spend their time. You spend time with God. How much time do you spend watching TV? How much time do you spend playing video games? How much time do you spend as a father with your children? How much time as a husband do you spend with your wife and family? So those things, they matter a lot. The youth, this is the time you start planning for your future. I remember last month when the youth had the retreat, my son Cece came. And then he said, Daddy, do you know about Dave Ramsey? I said, yeah, I heard about him. You know, the financial plan. He said, that's what we are using in our church. He said, when he went to that church, the church is going now. He says, most of their brothers and sisters, they all doing well financially. And then that they were making more than they were making. He said, they make even twice what they are making. But these people, they have houses, they are doing so well. And then he asked them, he said, well, the church has something they call Dave Ramsey, they follow it. I was telling our family executive that best family but to try to introduce it to the church. He said, since they have followed this pattern, Dave Ramsey is a believer. So since they are following this method, you know, his outline, that they have no financial problem here. Now, this man will tell you how you plan your future, how you save for your family, how you save, you know, for the children, education, step by step, and then he will follow you to that step. So youth, this is the time. Someday you are going to be a father. Begin now to lay your foundation. Begin now to save for your children. Begin now to save for your marriage. Don't wait in that time to go and borrow money for your wedding. Because this is the time, this is the right time to do it. Praise the Lord. So he said we should redeem our time. We should think like believers. So that when unbelievers, when they see us, they say, wow, now this people don't know how to redeem their time. For a good work to be seen, we must walk in love. Let everything, as 1 Corinthians 16:14 said, let everything you do be done in love, motivated and inspired by God's love for us. Paul says that the love of Christ controls him. The love of Christ compels him to do what he's doing. But we cannot walk in love if we don't have good relationship with God. When your relationship with God is strong, then our eyes will begin to open to understand how much God loves us. Then we can now love other people, because the best way to perfect God's love is by practicing that love towards other people. You can't say you love God and then you don't love the people around you. So the best way to do that is practicing love with people around you. Praise the Lord. So like Christ said that you are the light of the world. Like I said, you can have light and you're not functioning. Your light will be so dim. Not have any impact, no significant impact. You know, like when you get a diamond and put it under the chair, in the dark, that diamond will be shining. You don't need the person to tell you that there's something there shining. When you leave that diamond there for months, the brightness will begin to diminish. It will not be as bright as it was the first day. Because dust must have accumulated around it, and then it will not be as bright as it's supposed to be. So the same way with us, when sin begins to enter into us, our light begins to dim. Our light will not be as effective as it's supposed to be. Instead of being the light of the world, you begin to compromise with the world. You begin to see things the way the world sees things. And then when they see other things, they feel that, we're not different. We're all body bodies. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. So in conclusion, I want us to understand the privilege that we have as Christians. For God to say that we are now the light. When Christ came and said, He is the light. By that time, we were not the light. But He now said, we are now the light. That is placing us where He is. Are what He is, and He is what we are. So let our conduct be, when unbelievers come to us, when they see us, even before opening your mouth, because as the light of the world, they want to see the things you say. They want to hear the things you say. What do you say at your workplace? Does your word edify people? Can people look at you and say, wow, I would like to be like him? Can people look at you and go home and kneel down and say, God, if you can turn a person, if you can make a person to be like this, I want to know you. That is your light shining. This is your light shining. When somebody wants to say, God, I want to be like this person. Make me to be like him. Let this be our testimony. In Jesus' name.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.